Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, I get frustrated, but I get frustrated at times that I think there's problems that we can solve that we're not necessarily dealing with. The government shutdown is one of them, right? There's too much theater, too much politics, too much clickbaiting. And homelessness, for me, is one of those issues, right? And I know a lot of mental health is wrapped up into that as well. But this is a very real human issue, especially when you think about moms. We have young kids, single mothers, and they're homeless. They're sleeping in their vehicles. Kids are going to school. There's a school I read somewhere that has a parking lot for parents to park and sleep overnight because they're homeless. Let's get to focusing, you know, genuinely on some of these issues. We do that today with those who are doing it around the state of Montana. The Great Falls Rescue Mission, the Flathead Warming Center, and Hope Rescue Mission in Missoula, Montana. It is World Homelessness Day. We're going to talk about it today on Voices of Montana. Some stark realism here about homelessness. 60 to 70% of people without homes have at least one chronic health condition. I mean, talk about piling it on, right? And magnifying it. And that's another reason for homelessness is chronic health. And then 76%, as I noted earlier, suffer a mental health disorder. There are things that we can do to address this. Right now, we're addressing the problem, not necessarily the root of the problem, but that's where it starts to get to the root of the problem. And we've spoken with Tanya Horn a number of times, as a matter of fact, and impressed with her and how she understands that the Warming Center is just one stop in that journey toward ending homelessness for. And we're not talking a grand homelessness. We're talking, I think, individual homelessness. You can only help maybe one person sort of at a time. But by having resources in place to help that one person, you can help more and more and more. Let's check in with Tanya Horn now again with the Flathead Warming Center. Tanya, good morning. Are you there? Can I?
Good morning. Yes, we're here. Calling to you live from the bench.
I know it. I love it. You've been out there since one yesterday, and I peeled in there late last night. I checked you out through the afternoon. You're just doing a fantastic job. How you holding up?
I'm very tired, but it's been inspirational because we have great people within the community, and we've been having great conversations. I'm in fact here with a conversation right now if you guys want to join in.
Do, yes. Go ahead. Put us on speakerphone. Who are you talking with?
Okay, yep. You are on speakerphone, and we're actually on a bench by a busy road, so you might hear some road noise.
But, great.
You know, what we're trying to do here with Conversations on a Bench is change the narrative of homelessness one conversation at a time. And it takes conversation, and I'm here having a great conversation with the Sparrow's Nest, which addresses youth homelessness. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Good.
Awesome. Hi, guys. So I'm Rochelle Buckley. I'm the executive director of the Sparrow's Nest of Northwest Montana. We provide housing and resources to homeless youth to enable them to graduate from high school and become productive members of our community. We are the only preventative for youth program here in Flathead County that provides housing. So our program is very critical. And also, we love the Warming Center. When they first got started here in Kalispell, Tanya and I met, and we hit it off pretty well. And so we've wanted to support them throughout their stay in this valley and really support their mission. We kind of serve different brackets of the demographic, but we're doing a lot of the same work and serving a lot of the same people. The reality is that, you know, if our program didn't exist, these kids would have to use Tanya's program. And so that's why it's so important for the collaboration and conversation.
Hey, Rochelle, it's Tom Schultz again from Voices of Montana. I'm going to follow up with some questions here because I heard, Tanya talking last night about it's not just losing a home, it's losing community. And I think when we see that, we especially with youth homelessness, that education community. I mean, it's just not as strong. Talk about the problem. Talk about what you see in terms of youth homelessness, and then how it leads in. You know, how you guys try to get sources for education and community.
Yeah, so we serve youth from all walks of life. Here in Flathead County, homelessness is caused by a lot of things. Some of it is the cost of living in our community. We are a destination community. There are a lot of people moving in here, driving up housing prices and things like that. So that's part of it. But also we're seeing kids that are fleeing domestic violence. Maybe their parents are struggling with substance abuse. There also is a cross-section between the LGBTQ community and homeless youth. And so some of it is our kids are struggling with their mental health. They're struggling with gender identity. And parents don't know what to make of that. And so it can put a lot of strain on a family. And so if I were to sum it up in one, you know, sentence, is family breakdown is the number one cause for the students that I serve.
And addressing that, you know, Tanya, you hear that and it probably, you know, perks your ears up a little bit. Number one cause, here it is, we can address it. That's kind of tough to address. How do you address as a provider of services?
Breakdown of family or breakdown of community, I think those go hand in hand. Within adult homelessness, it's hard to say a leading cause because everyone's story is different. You and I have talked before about disabling mental illness or addictions, several reasons why people end up homeless. And here at the Warming Center, we're serving a lot of people who aren't housing ready because of the challenges that they have in their life. And so we've been talking a lot about that on Conversations of a Bench. And what I've asked a lot of the people who've sat and had conversations throughout the last almost 24 hours is what change would you like to happen in our community? And it's been amazing. The answers that we've gotten, they all have a common theme, and that is compassion. Within our communities, we need to all step forward with more compassion and get to know people who may look different than we are, but when you get to know people with compassion, you find out that we're more alike than we are different.
I really appreciate that. Rachel, talk about the extensiveness of the problem. I mean, I know you can't get too personal about it, but how many kids are you seeing? Are you seeing it growing? Are you seeing temporary situations, or are you a little more concerned about potential permanent homelessness for some of these kids?
Yeah, so that's my number one goal, is to make sure these kids are not homeless again when they leave our care. I've been with the organization since 2019. When I got started, we were typically doing 8 or 9 kids a year. Now we're seeing that we're serving 12 to 15. So that number has grown incrementally. And keep in mind, I only have an 8-bedroom facility. So if I had more beds, that number could potentially grow. There's a lot of things that go into that. What we're seeing is more and more of these kids are struggling with their mental health. More and more of these kids are being exposed to substance abuse and different chemical dependency at such an early age. And when you ask them, when was the first time you used? A lot of the times it was, well, my parents were gone and I was hanging out with people I knew I shouldn't have. And that's their first story of this path that they've been set down. Like Tanya always says, it's community. And so what I would love to see to help support our kids from getting into this situation is parents supporting parents, right? If you are a single mom of 2 kids, you need a lot of help, right? If your child is struggling with gender identity issues, that's a lot for a parent to handle. So where is their village, right, to help support them in raising their child and keeping them safe? I always tell our students, they say, oh, I love it here so much. It's really hard to not be with my family. And I tell them that's valid. You were not put into this world to live in a homeless shelter, right? Like nobody has a child and brings a child into this world thinking that that's where they're going to end up. So a lot of unforeseen circumstances ends them up in our care. And we take really great care of our kids. I love this program. I love the kids that we serve. There's a lot that goes into it, and really we need to see parents supporting parents, community supporting each other.
talk about your program. This is Rachel Buckley again, executive director of Sparrow's Nest, and just search them up, Sparrow's Nest. NWMT.org.
NWMT.org. Yep. So you can actually go check out our brand new website. We brought ourselves up into 2025 this past year with a new website. So there's lots of resources on there, including resources like the Warming Center. We're proud to support them and the other resources in our community. Our big thing is education. We want to house you and keep you safe while you get your education. We also require all of our students to work. So they're gaining job experience so they can find gainful employment once they leave our care. And we are 100% community funded. So we are not taking any federal or state grants. They don't really fit our programming. There's things like term limits that come into play. And I'm not interested in just housing a kid for 90 days. If they need to stay in our care throughout the entirety of their high school career, they should be able to do so. So our shortest placement, looking at a couple of weeks, our longest placement was with us for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And he's currently in welding school down in Arizona. So that's my humble brag of a parent.
That's so interesting. And you know, it's something I wasn't fully aware of. And I really appreciate that kind of service. Rachel Buckley again, Sparrow's Nest. She is sitting and having a conversation on the bench with Tanya Horn from the Flathead Warming Center, bring awareness to homelessness. It's World Homelessness Day. Tanya, thank you so much for what you do as well. Maybe talk about, and I've heard you say it before, and this is a great example of it, starting this journey to being housed. Like you said, some aren't necessarily housing ready, but you have to look at a number of services outside of your realm, so to speak. Talk about making that work, because I think that has really made a dent in how we are a community addressing homelessness.
We can only be part of the solution. We can't be the total solution. So it takes partnerships. It takes community. We keep saying that word community because there's a lot of strength in community. And we can't do it all. But working together, we can achieve so much more.
Rachel, what kind of sources, what kind of resources do you need? Is the legislature responsive? I mean, and I think the point to be made, too, is as Tanya had just said, there's only so much you can do, right? So you want to get to that highest level of what you can do. What do you need? What helps you?
Yeah. So, I mean, funding, right? That's number one.
Yeah.
And I hate to be a money asker on the air for you, but the fact of the matter is that there are people in this community that are fighting hard for these programs and for the clients that we serve, and we can't do it without funding. Tanya and I just finished a big fundraising season here in the Flathead Valley. We both did excellently in our campaign, which is amazing. But at the end of the day, those dollars are going to get spent on the crucial programs that we are providing. And so being generous, giving where you live is huge. You know, everybody does a roundup campaign at Target. Go lock down to your local homeless shelter and give them $5. That's probably going to get to your community a whole lot quicker than doing it through a corporate campaign. Or stop by, say, can I drop off dinners? Do you need office supplies? Something we go through, I have 8 teenagers in the house. Can you imagine how many deodorant sticks we go through or body wash or yes. toilet paper for that matter? Paper towels. Teenagers use 5 paper towels for a small spill, right? So, you know, just things like that, making sure that our programs are fully funded and have all the resources that we need. I would say that the legislature is fairly supportive of youth homelessness initiatives. We do have a license through the state of Montana. We are in the private alternative outdoor recreational program. We're kind of a round peg in a square box. But it does work for us, and we have a really great relationship with the state in our annual surveys and things like that.
Rachel Buckley again. It's Sparrow's Nest, NWMT, which stands for Northwest Montana, sparrowsnest.org. Hey, Tanya, who else? And Rachel, I'm so glad to have met you, and thank you for being a part of the conversations on the bench. Tanya Horn, I know you're wrapping it up at like 1 o'clock here today. You look great. I can see you. Go to YouTube, you guys. The stream is good. You can hear everything.
Can you believe she's still out here? She's killing it.
Oh, my goodness. 24 hours. I'm a little too old for this.
No, you really are. You're doing great. You look fresh. Your questions, and you've had really good guests, and I appreciate that too. Tell us about, you know, who else visited you and who else supports you? We got a couple of minutes here.
Oh, well, visiting on the bench, we did the gamut. We've had the superintendent of schools. We have had two of the three mayoral candidates running for election.
That's good.
We've had pastors. We have had other service providers. Because homelessness affects all of us. And it's going to take having those hard conversations that we can all come together. And having the hard conversations with compassion, we're going to be able to come up with solutions. And that's what we want to do. We want to change the narrative of homelessness one conversation at a time.
And I like that. And I think you've done that. I don't have a lot of time to go into the story. We've talked about it here. But you guys have had to work to get the community behind you. I mean, in a lot of ways. But that hard work, I think, has paid off. What's your, 30-second assessment of that?
We are doing great.
Good.
We came out of a big challenge, but from day one, we've always had our community support. We have some people who disagree with what we do and how we do it and who we serve. But what we say now is we have common ground in that no one wants homeless people on the street. We all want to get people off the street. And so if we start with that common ground, we're going to be able to come together and find solutions that are right for our community. We have great community support, and we're doing just fine over here at the Flathead Warming Center.
Thank you for the service, too, and you've been persistent about it. And I think that makes a great point. You got to keep knocking. Keep on knocking, and you guys have.
We're not going away. Yeah. We're going to get better and better every year.
Rachel and Tonya, thank you so much for the conversations on the radio today. Love what you do. Talk to you later, okay?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Honoring those folks who are really working hard in the area of homelessness. Jim McCormick, Great Falls Rescue Mission. Couldn't quite hook up with him, but I think we might have a chance to do that here in just a little bit. Great conversation with Tonya Horn from the Flathead Warming Center. She had Rachel Buckley with her. And now we're going to go over to Missoula for these conversations on a bench as part of a national effort and even a worldwide effort to address homelessness. Jim Hicks is the director of the Hope Rescue Mission. It is hopemontana.org, and he is also having conversations on a bench. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate that. You have a guest there as well, and not just any ordinary guest. It's someone who's going to give you a little relief upcoming in February, I understand. Introduce Jake to us, would you?
Yeah, we are so excited. Jake came to us and has been our director of development and been able to see how we work as Hope Rescue Mission. And the board went through the due process, and Jake's name floated to the top, which I'm super pleased with. And so Jake Mudrzau will be taking over February 1. And I know you're excited, right, Jake?
Oh, I am very excited. I'm very excited. A little shocking. I am so excited to not just step into that, but be here this morning and have these conversations, Jim.
Jake, yeah.
Let me ask Jake.
So thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thank you. And let me ask Jake. Jake, why have you chosen this field? Why have you chosen a field in social services?
Wow, that's a great question. I would go back about 6 or 7 years. The desire really came out in my heart. I was in law enforcement in Washington, D.C. for about 7 years. And, entering into just brokenness, hard situations every single day really started the burden of, man, how can I help in a different way? And fast forward 7 years and we're here. I feel like we're front lines, but in a different way here at Hope Rescue Mission. And it's been absolutely phenomenal just working with this team here and just trying to fill the gaps and help those in need.
Jim, how are you going to help Jake take over for you?
I'm going to I've been helping him see all the things not to do, but also just to build the culture that we have here at Hope Rescue Mission, the incredible partnerships we have citywide, and the partnerships we have with our mayor. She's going to be on a little before noon. The county commissioners right around noon, a little after, to help strengthen the culture and the relationships so that we can continue to walk among the broken and see the transformative work of the gospel take hold in people's lives and bring them, like, here's our big picture. We want to see people go from the street to shelter to recovery to stability. So it's fun to introduce Jake to all of those aspects and then see that the work is in good hands as we continue to go forward.
I appreciate that. You know, and Jake, I appreciate your background in law enforcement. I mean, there are certain jobs out there where the veil is certainly off when it comes to understanding the reality of challenges that people face. How will that help you? How will that assist you as you look to deal not only with homelessness, but it's mental health issues, and there's some broken families. It's basically our human nature to be broken. That is, you know, that takes some fixing, and only the good Lord can really do the full job. But you guys are part of that process. Tell me about how your background really leads into that, Jake.
Yeah, you know, that I would say eyes being opened. I grew up in an amazing home. My mother loved Jesus, and that's why I'm here right now. I believe her prayers. But entering into these homes and seeing, my goodness, things people have to walk through in their life. And that's what here at the mission of, you know, it's easy to see somebody on a street corner and say, you know, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you working? But you take time to walk alongside them and hear their story, and then your eyes are open and compassion floods your heart of, man, I would be there too. If I had to walk through what this person has gone through in life, I would be there too. So the law enforcement background really has opened my eyes to see, man, the need is great. And the need for more workers is great as well. So, man, we're just glad to be on the front lines with many, many partners here in the city as well.
Yep, it's one of the prayers we're instructed to pray. Pray for laborers. And I'm glad your mom did, right, as you said. Jake Mudrasow is soon to be the executive director of the Hope Rescue Mission. That's not until February. Jim's not done yet. Jim Hicks. They're having a conversation on the bench to raise this awareness about homelessness. Jim, talk about, and I've been a Missoulian for a lot of years, and I'll go back to when we were discussing gentrification, you know, before the turn of the century. And I'm not sure we've addressed good housing policies since then. What's the status of homelessness in Missoula?
You know, it's that's a great question. Because of kind of the iteration of things that's been going on, we have if you look at the point in time count, we have about 500 people in this area that are homeless, and many of those find some help at the Poverello, our local shelter. And in the past, we have had what's called the emergency winter shelter that's been open during the winter. That, because of funding, has shut down. Because of the growth rate of Missoula, and I was checking it yesterday, our median house price is over $600,000. The building is way behind the need. We've got some great things going on in the city, but we are still lacking in that affordable housing. So here's a couple of things we're doing. One of the major things we're doing is we have a temporary safe outdoor shelter that is 30 hard-sided shelters, and it fits our model of going from street to shelter. And that shelter has wraparound services. We partner with so many different entities. In fact, every entity we can in helping these folks move forward. So it's a program that they can come on. I mean, I interviewed a guy this morning that talked about the first few nights he was there, he couldn't sleep because it was so quiet. He was not used to that. But folks that can come on and agree to come into the program, excuse me, they can lock these shelters up, meaning they can leave their stuff, go to their appointments, or there's case managers on site. They can bring their case managers there. We have trained staff to help them. So what we want to do is walk beside them in their brokenness, find where we can fill the gaps to help them move forward into the space they need to gain that stability and begin to give back into society. So, I mean, one of our philosophies is to climb into the world of others so that we can gain a reputation, in order that we can have conversation, in order that we can move people forward by the grace of Jesus Christ. So that's some of the things we do in this city that is changing. We're just happy to be here.
Yeah. And it's vital that you are. Jim Hicks, again, with the Hope Rescue Mission. Jake Mudrasow is also with us here, Conversations on the Bench. I would encourage people, go to hopemontana.org and check out some of the videos and some of the pictures of this temporary housing camp that they have. 30 hard-sided shelters are really, really tiny, miniature kinds of little apartments. They're not real big. But what I saw there, Jim, and Jake, I'm going to have you address this, was a reconnecting, a sense of community again. Because we spoke with Tanya Horn earlier, who's doing this from the Flathead Warming Center as well. She said, and it stands out, it's not just not having a home. You lose community when you don't have a home. And I think, Jake Mudrasow, that is, for me, a really viable step for people from, as you try to go from street to stability, they can see that happen right then and there. How powerful has that been? How helpful has that been?
Oh, it's been incredible to see. And you know, we were talking about that this morning on the bench of, you know, what does that look like? The foundation of stability, of what home is. And truly, that long-term stability is relationships, the community around someone. And that's the burden we feel, is there are hundreds of people in this town who have no one in their corner fighting for them.
Yeah.
So how can we come alongside them, help them forward, encourage them, support them for that long-term stability? So that's the burden we feel of, man, when we, Lord willing, people are going from street to shelter into housing, that last piece in the housing, that long-term stability, is we want people to be surrounded by community, because I know in my life that's just been critical.
Yeah. Jim, talk about the Hope Rescue Mission. What do you guys do? How can people help you?
We have several different things. I'll
you do
this quick.
Yeah, take your
we
time.
We have the drop-in center that's open 9 to 4, and that allows people to come in and just begin that first connection of whatever they might need to fill the gaps in helping them move forward. Again, we have the temporary safe outdoor shelter. That's the program, wraparound services, helping people to move forward. We have the PATH people. That is a federally funded program that really people can enroll in, and it helps them move forward with their mental health, their brokenness, so that they can get to that next step of being not only stable, but building that community around them. We have the Women and Children's Center, and that is an 18-month program for gals coming off addiction or coming out of life-controlling issues. It might be domestic violence. It's a safe place for them. Again, it's an 18-month program. We can talk about the stories and the results from there all day long. We also have a thrift store called Hope Thrift Boutique. And out of that, because of the donations, we started a baling operation where we take clothes that we may not sell on the floor, and we bale them in 1,000-pound bales. And then when we get 40 bales, we get a vendor, a truck that will take them to wherever they're going to go. It could be overseas, could be recycling. There's all kinds of options they do. But out of that, we started a rescued store that folks on Tuesdays can buy clothes for $2 a pound.
Yeah.
And on Thursdays, $1 a pound. But here's the deal. Last year, we kept 240,000 pounds out of the landfill. So that's important to us as well in this whole picture of meeting the needs of Missoulians in Western Montana at several different levels. We have street outreach that works with the city with their code compliance as they might go to a motorhome or a trailer or a car where people have been camping and sleeping. We just want to walk beside people, helping them restore their life, restore their dignity, melt shame off them by the grace of Jesus, and find what it's like to gain this stability and become a Western Montana that's contributing back to the social health of our society.
Well, it's vital, and you guys are storing up treasures in heaven, and thank you for the work you're doing down here. I appreciate that, and we'll be in touch, okay? Homelessness is something that doesn't disappear overnight, too, so let us know how we can help, okay, Jim?
Yeah, thank you very much.
And Jake, congratulations to you. I'm going to probably bug you down the road.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah, good. You put the mantle on, and then I'm going to ask the real hard questions about the budget and about management and, all that fun stuff. Yeah.
Hey,
thank you, guys. I appreciate you very much. All right.
You bet. Thank you.
God bless you.
Yep. Jim Hicks again, and Jake Mudrasow with the Hope Rescue Mission in Missoula, hopemontana.org. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.